Families wanted to fight for each other. Families wanted to die for each other. Let's go, AU!
Chris Davis is going to drop back into the end.
War Eagle, this is War Bloggle with War Bloggle podcast number 26. Yes, it's been a while. Yes, I said at the beginning of the year I was going to do a podcast every week, and I made it all the way to March 1st. The middle of basketball season, Auburn had just beaten Kentucky, won the SEC in the SEC regular season, the SEC championship that matters. But now it's football season. As I told you, baseball was going to take over. I knew it was going to happen. Even when I made the promise, baseball took over. But it was the summer of baseball for me. Not that you care, but my 12-year-old rec ball team, rec all-star team, did win state and went to the World Series and finished third. I did also take a travel ball team, 12U team, to Cooperstown, New York. Out of 104 teams, we finished top 16, lost to the eventual champion. But you're here to hear, that's funny, about Auburn football. So let's get into it. Auburn is 1-0. We'll recap Baylor semi-quickly. I'm recording this on Thursday. My plan is to do these every Wednesday or Thursday during the football season. And hopefully stick to that. So you'll have a little bit of recap for the week before and then kind of a catch-up preview for the following week or the upcoming week as you're driving down to Auburn or whatever you're doing, sitting at the tailgate on a Friday afternoon, sitting at the tailgate Saturday morning, just bump bloggle. Oh, that's a good – let's put that on a T-shirt. So, yes, Auburn went to Baylor. Honestly, really didn't know what to expect. We kept, it was all about, is Jackson Arnold going to be good? Can he lead the offense? He got benched at Oklahoma, so that must mean he's awful, which was all about, that's pretty much what most people were saying. A lot of the talking heads that aren't just trying to get clicks, they were saying, he's a good player. He's obviously a five-star out of high school, blah, blah, blah. Can he just, get in the right system and keep his head straight? Because honestly, I didn't watch him at Oklahoma that much. I knew when Auburn played Oklahoma last year, he had been benched and we saw their freshman. And we should have beaten him with their late interception. But either way, I didn't look at Jackson Arnold. I knew who he was. I didn't really watch Oklahoma the first 4 or 5 weeks or whenever it was before he got benched. But if you remember, they also fired their offensive coordinator. They also had no wide receivers. They had no wide receivers against us. Still beat us, but that was, again, a defensive thing. So, whatever. I didn't know. But apparently his thing was he would get down and it would just spiral. He would, throw an interception, whatever, and it would just whatever. And at Baylor, we didn't see that. The only negative for him really was that, and it wasn't really him, it was the first drive. We went 3-and-out. And, of course, all the idiots on Twitter are here we go again, or I can't watch this, or I'm not going to do another year of this. After 3 plays, and they were dead serious, 3 plays on the in the first game of the year. As if you're watching on YouTube, I just switched to a picture of Jackson Arnold so you know who I'm talking about. But anyway, I think there was a pass to Cam Coleman that kind of tipped off his fingers. Felt a lot like the one that tipped off his fingers against Cal that ended up being an interception that kind of sealed the game or whatever. But we're not talking about the past other than 4 days, six days ago. But yeah, it just kind of felt a lot like that. But, we knew he was an athlete. We knew he was a 5-star Gatorade Player of the Year, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think we knew – I didn't know that he was going to run like that. I thought he was going to be just kind of a simple pocket passer. But when Baylor's playing you to pass the entire game, because all we've done is talk about wide receivers for the last year, it opens up some running lanes, and he took them. Some could say he was a little skittish, maybe a little Bo Nix-ish, early Bo Nix. And he just kind of gave up because he knew his line wasn't blocking. I don't think that was the case this time. The line was pretty good. And I think he just saw holes. A few of those, I think, were design runs. The 4th-and-1 at the end that was a touchdown that definitely sealed the game. That was a design run. But, that first one, it was kind of, I don't see anything. Here comes the right tackle being pushed into me. I'm going to run through. And he showed his legs. And they never changed for some reason. Dave Aranda, head coach of Baylor, former defensive coordinator at LSU, defensive mind, just for whatever didn't change. I don't know. People have been asking that all week, and I'm not really sure what's going on there. I guess he was thinking you know, and we had the lead. So what does running the ball do? It runs the clock. They weren't forcing us to pass to stop the clock. But, you know, it kind of is baffling to everybody. It just didn't change. So now, and I don't want to just flat out jump into the rest of the season, but now the thing is, okay, we've got to stop Jackson Arnold from running. So now we're going to load the box and make him throw the ball. And then we get to see the receivers that we have. I guess I'll go ahead and look into Ball State. But so you think Cam Coleman, Horatio Fields, all of them, all of those big names, all the receivers we've heard about, the Freeze 4 plus more. Hey, I made that up too. Put that on a shirt. They should be able to feast against Ball State. And then we kind of see this is like one of those perfect games where it's like, okay, we really didn't get to see that last week. So let's go against the team that just lost by multiple touchdowns to Purdue, who won one game last year. Let's let it fly and see what happens. They always say the biggest jump in the season is between game one and game two. You have actual film to look at stuff, to figure out, to see what wasn't working and how to fix it. And I don't, you know, offensively, there's obviously things to work on, but now, and it wasn't a deficit or a detriment or anything negative. They didn't get to throw the ball against Baylor that much, or they didn't try to, or didn't have to. So now they can. Run game was fine. Austin, I think he's kind of banged up, and they may not play him just because we have Jeremiah Cobb. We have Darrell from UConn. We even have the kid from Auburn High. So against Ball State, if you're hurt, you don't really have to play. I don't think you shouldn't have to play. But in the back of my mind, though, Ball State is not awful. I don't know if y'all remember this, but not too long ago, they were undefeated. And my other sideline guest this week, which both Baylor guys flaked on me last week, so that's why we won. But the Ball State guy, he tweeted about it or put it somewhere, reminded us that Ball State went 12-0 and then lost in a bowl game, or lost in their conference championship game, and then lost in their bowl game. So they went 12-2. But yeah, they're basically Northern Illinois. They have the same colors. They're in the same area of the world. I don't get them mixed up, but they're like the same to me. And they both can be awful, but Northern Illinois has been good too. They beat Alabama one year. Who hasn't? But I don't know. Ball State to me is not ever awful, but apparently this year they're not good, and last year they weren't either. Even their other sideline guy was not very high on them, which I will post today, Thursday, at some point. So it'll be good to get back in the other sideline. Baylor Flakers, you'll never be asked again. But yeah, Ball State should be where the offense can open up the other side. Now, for the defense, again, there were some stops made. Again, Baylor's a Big 12 offense, going to throw it a billion times. They had 400 yards of passing. I noticed somebody, I didn't look this up, so check me on it. They had 600 yards of passing against LSU in their bowl game. I could look that up, but I'm not. It's good enough for me. So they're a passing team. The issue was, it seemed to be the same pass every time to Trigg or whatever his name, Tig. I couldn't remember. The guy across the middle, who's a legit receiver, had some really good catches. But it seemed to be that play over and over and over. And then, obviously, the broken tackles, the missed tackles, whatever it was, that was huge. And two fourth down conversions for touchdowns, and one of them was like 30 yards. It was 4th and 9. They gained 30 yards on a wide open pass. The other one was kind of like an end around pass, or just kind of a screen out to the side. I think it was somewhere out to the side, and the guy just outran everybody on 4th down. There was a 3rd and 9 or a 3rd and 16 they got. So all those kind of, tackling, everybody says that can be fixed. I don't know that that's an easy fix. Maybe I don't know that it was an effort issue like Alabama, but I don't know if that grab harder, hit this part better. I don't know. I mean, I sound like I don't know what football is, but is that something you can teach really quickly? I don't know. But yeah, scheme and leaving the guy wide open on the 4th and 9, that's kind of stuff that can be fixed. So hopefully Ball State gives them a little bit of an option to, or a opportunity to bust heads and really hit people and really learn how, okay, I'm going to hit harder here and not grab. And I noticed a few times some of our DBs, and not just ours, this happens everywhere. They don't feel like they've got the strength or the size to like hold on to somebody, grab onto somebody, wrap up. So they just kind of, you know, fly at their knees backwards, you know, throw their back shoulder into the knees. And there were a few times where that wasn't enough. So maybe that is how do you teach to tackle. Again, I feel like I don't know what football is, because I'm like, how do you teach tackling? Yes, there's technique, but they've known this stuff forever. And Baylor's got fast guys. They're picked to win the Big 12. And I'm going to pump Baylor up a little bit in my next little segment, but going on the road and winning a Power 4 game on the road, which Alabama couldn't do, that's three mentions. It's not easy. You get new quarterback, new, you know, a lot of people's new. Everybody's got new these days. So new everything, not everything, but I knew a lot of stuff, a lot of new. Going on the road, you know, it's a huge thing to them. I do think playing on a Friday actually hurt them a little bit. People got to work. You don't have all day tailgating. They're Baptist, so I don't know that they would at least hide the drinking at the tailgates. But, you know, a Friday game that's not like a holiday. When Auburn played the Iron Bowl in 2010 and 2009, those were Friday games, but that was the day after Thanksgiving. So it worked. Just an opening game, you know, and it takes people a little bit to get into football season. A lot of times I'm the same way. It's just like, oh, wait, we got a game this week. I mean, I've known it. I know we've got a season coming up, but it's like, okay, now I've got to get into my football routine. Now I've got to set up, get all the tailgate stuff, or where am we going to watch this, or what are we going to do? And sometimes you're not used to it. So for Baylor people, it probably was like, oh, wait, we got a game. It's Friday. Because it wasn't a light crowd a few minutes before the game started. And I don't know that it was sold out. And it's a pretty small stadium, 45,000, I think. Half of Auburn, pretty much. It's a nice stadium. It's a cool little setup, I think. I didn't get to go. I was going to go, but didn't. But I do think being on a Friday kind of hurts you as a home team. Again, the all-day tailgating, the all-day getting ready, the fans getting lubed up and ready to go, that I feel like that is a detriment when you're playing on a Friday. I don't know. So, but it was a big win. They are picked to win the Big 12. They'll probably win, you know, 9 games, 10. I don't know. If they're picked to win the Big 12, they might win more than that. They've got a good quarterback. They've got a good receiving core. The running backs were not bad. They just played a bad defensive scheme, I think. And again, it's first game. They had no clue what we were going to do. I don't think we knew. I don't think Hugh Freeze and Jackson Arnold knew we were going to run that much. They kind of admitted that. They basically said, you know, it took a lot of pride to not want to throw the ball later in the game when they just kept giving us the run. So nobody really knew. So Baylor didn't know. But after a half, you should probably know. I don't know. They were only down a touchdown and a half. We gave them a ball back and honestly almost gave them a chance to tie it right for the half. So it's a big win. It's a good win. I'd argue with some idiot that was about us rolling tumors, because at Auburn, on the Auburn website, it says we roll tumors after big wins. Maybe we should change that. We roll it after every win, as far as I know, but whatever. I'd call it a big win. It was our non-cupcake out-of-conference game. Again, picked to win the Big 12. Bowl game last year. They were 8-5. They started kind of slow, and then they won like their last 6 games. I mean, they had some decent losses last year. BYU beat them, Utah, whatever. Anyway, so the rest of the weekend, football-wise, you know, obviously Alabama lost to Florida State. Excuse me, lost to Gus Malzahn. That was just great to see from the Gus Malzahn perspective. I don't love Florida State by any means, but that was good to see from his side. You know, he was running vintage Gus. It looked like Nick Saban in 2009 when Auburn almost beat Alabama, number one Alabama, at Auburn, had all those awesome plays, and then – end around for Terrell Zachary and all that cool stuff, all that good stuff we used to do. And then Alabama came back to win. But it looked like it. Saban wasn't used to that yet, I guess. And so that's kind of what this looked like. It would look like a coach that was not used to Gus Malzahn's offense because he was running the same stuff. It was Trey Mason and Ontario McCaleb and all those guys. It just looked like that. And so that made for an even better weekend. What'd you have? What else we have? We had LSU beat Clemson at Clemson. Again, LSU is always in these games. They've lost five opening games in a row until this one. They're always in these, like, good but probably not elite matchups. And they've lost five of them in a row until now. There was a few with Florida State. And I don't know how good Clemson is. We don't know how good LSU is. That's the thing. But they played in a primetime game against each other that everybody watched. So now they're both good. It was a close game, so they're both good. What if they're both bad? That's what happened a few years ago, LSU and Florida State. Boston College beat Florida State, and we thought they were going to be good. No, it's just both of them were not good. Like, that's a possibility, too. As I'm doing this, I guess I should go to my next point. If you're watching on YouTube, you get to see the AP Top 25. Again, AP stands for Ain't Played. And it's obvious. We've always said this. If you look back at most of my podcasts, and a lot of them are basketball because I usually do them in basketball season. I don't know why. It's a lot about rankings and being stupid. And the number one argument is rankings don't matter. And that's a lie. They do matter. They're putting a subconscious thought in the post, in the committee's head. They're there for ratings. They're there for all kinds of things. They do matter. Saying you got a top 10 win matters. In the day of now, we're ranking 12 teams to put them in a playoff. If you tell me this team had a top 5 win in October, where's that top 5 part coming from? The rankings. So, I will say they shouldn't matter until October. They shouldn't exist until October. There's no reason we should give somebody credit because a nerd in Wyoming thinks South Carolina is going to be good this year. That should not factor in to our baseline of what the rankings are going to be in a few weeks. And they do. It sets a baseline before nothing has happened, before anything has happened. You have set a baseline. Like right now, Texas, yeah, they're probably really good. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Arch Manning didn't look that great. If I had a non-Auburn podcast, I'd go off on that forever, which I do want to have a non-Auburn podcast. If you're interested, I'm always looking for more people to help out with Bloggle. If you're interested in doing a non-Auburn, non-sports, I'd like to talk about music, crazy, old, weird stuff, history, aliens, any of all those. If you want to talk about any of those things, message me. Email me. I'd like to do a podcast. But anyway, so now we think, you know, Texas, they're 0-1. Clemson, they're 0-1. Who else? There was three top 10 teams that had a loss. Maybe I missed one. Maybe there's only two. No, there's another one in here. Who is it? Maybe they dropped out. I don't know who it was. Who was it? I'm looking at it right now. You got Ohio State, Penn State, LSU. They all won. Georgia won. Miami won. Who'd Miami beat? Notre Dame. Oh, Notre Dame. They're number 9. So 7, 8, and 9 are all 0-1. Okay, so we've seen them. They lost to Texas, lost to now number one Ohio State. Clemson lost to now number 3 LSU. Notre Dame lost to now number 5 Miami. Okay, so you go, well, they lost to top 10 teams. How do you know those are top 10 teams? How do you have a clue? You don't. You have no clue if LSU is the third best team in the nation. But they beat another team that was preseason top 10. Preseason. No season has happened. So you got three teams in the top 10 that have done nothing positive. Zero. They got some clout from last year. Or they got some clout from a transfer portal pickup. Or because you've heard their name before. That's why they're ranked there. So Auburn's technically number 27. Utah's number 25. BYU is the next team receiving votes, and Auburn's the next team receiving votes. So they're 27, right before Georgia Tech and USC. Oh, wow, USC's down there. Baylor got two votes. They're like somewhere like 35th. James Madison's got a vote. Liberty's got a vote. So back to the original point. Polls matter. This is setting a precedent for the rest of the season. The only way Miami, Texas, Oregon, whoever in the top 10 is going to drop out of the top 25 is if they lose three or four, whatever. But Auburn is 1-0 on the road with a Power 4 win. You got not a team that hadn't played a Power 4 team yet and not ranked. But you've got South Carolina, who's number 10, who barely beat Virginia Tech, who's not a ranked team of any kind, not even receiving a vote. And they're number 10? I was trying not to get into specifics. But I posted something on Facebook about Twitter and Facebook. I got this new app that'll do both. I've been trying to do this for 7 years. That'll do a tweet and a Facebook post all the same. And Facebook gets a lot more engagement. I don't know what it is, but I had comments on comments on comments. Probably because the type of people on Facebook like to argue a little bit more than whatever. But anyway, tons of Auburn fans. And I've battled these Auburn fans for years. First of all, their first point is they don't matter. They do. We're not talking about that anymore. The second is Auburn fans, people who pull for Auburn, telling me it's just Baylor. We just beat Baylor. We need to do something more before we deserve a spot in the polls. Well, number one, just Baylor is not just Baylor. It's not your daddy's Baylor, okay? Again, picked to win the Big 12, had 600 yards against LSU last year, if we're talking about last year, because then that's the next point they like to bring up. Dude, we've had five straight losing seasons. All right, well, Florida State's ranked number 14 right now. Anybody remember how many games they won last year? Two? They won two. Two games. And then they beat big, bad Alabama, who's still number 21 for some reason. And they jumped to 14 after probably getting zero votes. I don't know. I can go look back. They weren't near the top 25. But they jumped all the way to 14 because everybody loved to watch that game. They won two games last year. So Florida State, who won two games last year, wins one game this year. And that puts them in the top half, near the top half of the rankings, right outside the top. They're in the top 15. But Auburn's got to prove it a little bit more. People literally say this every single year. Go beat Oklahoma, go beat Georgia, and then we'll be ranked. Why does Auburn have to beat Georgia to be ranked? Why does Auburn have to win six games to be ranked? And why are you an Auburn fan arguing about it? Why are you telling us, well, we got to prove it a little bit more? What did SMU prove? Number 17, SMU. What did they prove by beating, who was it? It was a crappy team. North Dakota. No, North Dakota was Kansas State. Iowa State looked like crap 2 weeks ago. Still ranked. Alabama looked like total crap. 0-1. Still ranked. But Auburn's got to prove it. Auburn needs to go on the road to Baylor, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M in their first five games. Go almost to the mountain time zone and win three road games against two probably really good teams. And Baylor, I don't know, all three are probably good to high, good to really good, somewhere in there, if not more. But we got to go win those three games so you, the Auburn fan, can feel like we've proved it. Now, if Auburn beats Ball State this week, they're going to be ranked. If not, unless it's a close game and it's just real stupid, Auburn's most likely going to get ranked. Somebody in the 17 to 25 area is going to lose or look stupid, and Auburn will probably move up if they win another one. If they don't get in this week, they'll absolutely get in after they beat South Alabama. If they're 3-0 as an SEC team and they're just knocking on the door of 25, they'll be in there. And it does not kill me that Auburn's number 27 this week. Honestly, because I was just expecting it. I wasn't even thinking about Auburn being ranked because I know how stupid people are and how stupid these pollsters are. There are two pollsters that have Alabama ranked number 11 this week. 11. One was a writer in UCLA, or writer for UCLA. I didn't look at the other one because I was so mad I just threw something. I threw the laptop out the window like Cam Newton. I just don't get this. Go look at my Facebook, facebook.com/warbloggle. You'll see my post about the rankings, about how Auburn has to prove themselves through four or five games, an SEC team, to get into the top 25 when they would beat, from what I've seen right now, I'm not even counting. I'm not even looking at the names. They would easily beat 10 of these teams. Easily. Or would have a better record if those teams played Auburn's schedule. If 20 of these teams played Auburn's schedule, Auburn might have a better record than them. But no, we got to talk about Iowa State and SMU. Yeah, those are great teams. Illinois, number 11. Man, I'm scared of them. I'm scared of their schedule. Indiana, Texas Tech, man. Are they bad teams? No. Are they? Would Auburn absolutely beat them in a 1-1 matchup? I don't know. Like, if it's a meaningless bowl game when you're probably going to see one of those teams, I don't know. But those teams, to certain Auburn fans, and obviously they're idiot Alabama fans and idiot other fans that say this, but for the people in Facebook world that are on there going, dude, we just beat Baylor. It's just one win. All right. Well, these top 25 teams, not even all of them have a win. I just will never understand the arguments and the idea that you're an Auburn fan. It's not a homer thought. I know I'm a homer. It is not a homer thought to think that Auburn should be ranked. Number one, they're 27th. They're literally right there. But this idea that, oh, we just beat Baylor, and then the argument of, we just had five losing seasons in a row. Well, one of them came from a bowl game. I don't count a losing season in a bowl game. If you were 6-6, don't count it. Either what, especially with people half the team opting out. But whatever. Okay, again, Florida State had two wins last year. Indiana thinks there's something. They get to the one meaning before a game they played last year and get destroyed. Texas Tech, are you kidding me? I mean, I will never understand the Auburn fan that wants to downplay Auburn, and they all pretend that every other team is perfect, that every other team is winning every game by 100 points. I'm already arguing with people that I'm going to argue with after Auburn loses a game, if they lose a game. We might. I don't know. Maybe. But, I mean, I was thinking about this after the game. It's like, man, we don't really have anything negative to say. Like, the defense couldn't tackle, but we still only gave up 24 against a team who gets a lot of yards and blah, blah, blah. And then a ranking comes out, and I just make a simple point. And here come the people that just can't stand to say, oh, Auburn's ranked. And the other thing is, oh, I like being under the radar. We play better when we're under the radar. Do y'all remember 2004 when we were under the radar? Yeah, if we were the 3 seed now, we're going to be in the playoffs. I get it. It's the whole different system. But being under the radar is not a good thing. Do you not want respect for the team you pull for? Do you want to be 5-0 and not ranked, and SMU's up there 3-1 and they're ranked higher than you? Do you not want to be better than other teams? The point of sports is to be the best. Yes, keep winning and that'll happen. That's the other argument. Just keep on winning. We got nothing to say. Why aren't the other teams having to keep on winning? There are 4 teams that are ranked that have not won a game. Again, all this would be fixed if we just didn't do polls until October when we had a clue. But we got to put a number by their name on a TV screen, which, again, is a reason it matters. It matters. The poll matters. Whether it's right or wrong, it matters. So, be a fan if you're an Auburn fan and go, man, we should probably be ranked. Not, dude, it's just one win. It's just Baylor. Watch more football if that's how you think. So, I don't know. Again, if Auburn beats Ball State, which they should, who went to Ball State? David Letterman. I don't know. That was a thing years ago. He just, for some reason, look it up on YouTube. He started talking about Ball State football games, and he like brought the team out there one time or something, and I don't know. But I asked the other sideline guy about it. So, all right, if you thought I was done yelling, I really wanted to do a full podcast about Auburn claiming the national championships. And I'm mad I used the word claim right there because I'm going to yell about that too. But putting the national championships that other people have now have said we were the champion for, putting that on the stadium and all that kind of stuff. So I saw, so when this came out, it was obviously a concerted effort that week by Auburn, by athletic director John Cohen, all of them. There was an obvious concerted effort, and I can't remember, was it the week of the game or was it the week before? I think it was the week before. Yes, it was. But I was going to do a podcast about this then, and then I was like, well, honestly, I just kind of got lazy and didn't do it. But then I also had the thought of, but if Auburn loses to Baylor, I really don't want to say, argue about these national champions, and then we lose to Baylor, and then everybody says, well, see, you can't even beat Baylor. But we won, so now I'm going to do it. So there was a concerted effort that week to announce, like, big Auburn things. They announced the thing about retiring Cam Newton's jersey, which is good. That should have been done. I think they've waited just to make sure he wasn't going back in the NFL. That's what they did with Bo. I was there when they retired Bo's. It was literally, I think it was exactly 10 years after he quit or he was done with football, with college football. Either way, so that was good. Then they announced something. The Yellowwood thing on the field, that was part of it too. I feel like there's one other thing. There was a recruit we got. I don't know. It just felt like every day we were getting some good, positive news. And right in the middle of it was Auburn's going to claim 9 more national championships. Now, if you go look, some people say they're claiming 4 more. Because somewhere in a program, we were already claiming 5, even though everybody always says 1957, 2010. Because the AP was 1957, 2010, we won the BCS. So, I expected Alabama fans to go crazy from this. I thought there would be somebody that had a clue about their history with this. But, you know, other than maybe some people over 40 years old, I saw TikToks where people that have no clue about football just going off saying this was sad, this was embarrassing for the state of Alabama, for Auburn to just randomly claim national championships. So before I go further on that, claiming, the word claim is kind of wrong in this situation. Auburn's not claiming it. Auburn isn't going, well, we think we're the national championship. We're the champion that year. UCF kind of did that. I think somebody did actually name them that back in 2017 or whatever. All Auburn is doing is going to sources, some organizations, whatever, that named them a national champion. They've been out there since they happened. 2004, there was one of the rankings in the BCS gave them the national championship. There's always been a magazine or a newspaper, which that sounds weird to say, but those are who named the national champions in many cases. The AP is writers for newspapers and magazine. They're not going and just saying, you know what, that year we were pretty good, I'm going to take this one. No, they're going, all right, that year, so-and-so, which was a reputable source at the time, called us a national champion. We've just never done it because Alabama made it look stupid when they did it in the 80s, when overnight they went from 6 to 12. And yeah, we kind of scoffed, but the internet wasn't a thing then. And it wasn't that big of a deal. But they made shirts that said, got 12. This was their old athletic director. And he openly admitted he wanted to make Alabama look better and look bigger and always, like, pump up Alabama, which is what your athletic director should probably do. So good job, John Cohen. But he had openly admitted, we went back and found where certain people said we were national champions. And so we decided to put them on shirts and back tattoos and neck tattoos and car bumpers and window clings and anything you can find and say we got 12. Now, I'm not going to get into the specifics other than this one. There was one in the 60s. Everybody's seen it. I think it was 64. I don't know. I can't remember. I've read the article, seen the thing. If you want to go, Google How does Alabama have 12 national championships? And it will show you multiple ridiculous ones. But the worst being the year they finished 20th in the AP and third in the SEC, but some bathroom stall had Alabama number one written on it in New Mexico, I think. And so they claimed that one. So that immediately kind of kills it. It kills it. All this is, if you're happy with that, if you're going to say, yeah, we got that one, then it kills everything you say. And I've said this for years. Alabama has a lot of national championships. But when you start claiming those, it kills the vibe. It kills your argument. So you have zero leg to stand on. Zero. You Alabama fans that literally, and the fact that this was done right before football season was a good and bad thing because we didn't have any real football to talk about. So it came up and it was like a positive for Auburn before anything's really happened. So it's like, no, you're not going to take this. I still think Auburn's not good. I still think Auburn's going to lose to Baylor. You can't have this good thing. So you, the idiots, the people on Twitter are calling it sad and an embarrassment to Alabama. Yours has been an embarrassment to everybody, to yourself mainly, for decades. Absolute decades. But slowly but surely, everybody just kind of forgets and goes, oh, yeah, Alabama's got 18. Even though when they actually win one, which they've only won one in the last 7 years, even though they tell you they win it every year, when they put it, they actually put it on TV screen, ESPN will put it at the bottom. This is Alabama's actual 13th or whatever it is. So, but it's just one of those things. Nobody's allowed to argue, I guess, because they won it this time. And so if you argue it, you look like an idiot. But if you're arguing for those, there was another year they named the champion before the bowl game, and then they lost their bowl game. They lost the Sugar Bowl. So we're talking about like, these weren't situations of, you know, some weird system or whatever. Like, these were bad examples, and they're in their numbers and they're in their history, and everybody just thinks they're just there, and we're not going to question it. But there's people that should know and should know better that Alabama's done this for a long time. And Auburn claiming theirs, I keep saying claiming, Auburn acknowledging that people, recognizing that people have claimed them and called them a national champion that year, that's not the same. I mean, that's not just making up something and going, yeah, we decided we're national champions that year. That's what the word claim means. We took it. No, we didn't. Somebody gave it to us, and now we're going to say, hey, thank you. Here it is. Because guess what? The players, they deserve it. It's not for our T-shirts. But the 83 team that got absolutely screwed in the rankings after the bowl games, they deserve it. The 04 team, that is right now the only undefeated team from that season. Actually, who else went undefeated that year? No, was that year 2010? I can't remember. Utah went undefeated 2010 too, I think. But there were, it might have been 04 as well. But USC was found to be cheating, and they had to forfeit the national championship. So there's not a national champion that year. Who should get it? The SEC team that went undefeated and has now changed football forever because they realize how stupid that was? But we got people arguing with that one. I mean, there were podcasts of bros. Jacob Hester, LSU dude who has a podcast, radio show, whatever, going off, saying it was an embarrassment to everything. You know why? Because Auburn hasn't won a ton in the last 5 years and kind of been a little tumultuous and a little bit of turmoil of coaching and all that. And so they like that, and they're used to that. So here comes a positive about Auburn before the season. No, we can't have that. My team's got more than you. Okay, well, you can acknowledge the ones as well. Who cares? College football has not had a actual championship system until really the BCS, and that was still kind of whatever. But I guess now with the playoffs, if that's how we're going to name our champion, that's the way. So before that, it was kind of a free-for-all. But Alabama fan, if you're claiming the 20th place AP third in the SEC championship, no, you don't get to claim that one. Sorry, we're not going to allow it. But if in 1913, when Auburn goes undefeated, 1914, when they went undefeated and one tie and only gave up like 8 points all year. And they were named the Southern Conference champions. And there really wasn't a national championship there year, but somebody did name them a national champion. Yeah, we're going to say, we're going to acknowledge that. We're going to put it on the scoreboard, the whatever, every sign in the place. Y'all realize that Ole Miss on their in their stadium, it says they have three national championships, all from the 60s. I think it was 3 years in a row. And I want to say the AP claimed one of them. But for decades, we've been saying Ole Miss, who Auburn has like a 70% winning percentage against. We've been allowing Ole Miss to say three and Auburn to say two. And we just accept it and go along with it, and that's okay. And Alabama overnight goes from 6 to 12, and that's okay. But Auburn calls into question some real ones, some recognizes some real ones. 13, 14, 01. Who cares if they were a long time ago? Most of Alabama's were a long time ago. 70s or before. Ole Miss were in the 60s. Who cares if it was a long time ago? It's just something that should have been done a long time ago. But because you think Auburn's supposed to suck and you don't have to think about them, oh, yeah, yeah, Auburn's not, yeah, get them out of here. Yep, nope. Wait a minute. Here comes something positive. No, you can't do that. It's just loser mentality. And I saw an Auburn fan, a guy went to my high school who's on a show with a YouTube following, saying, who cares? Why do we care about the 1913 championship? You don't have to care about it. But a real Auburn fan would. The families of the team, of the players on that team should. They would. Yeah, we had a football season coming up, but it hadn't happened yet. That goes back to this dumb thing we always see when as soon as the championship games are over, ESPN or whoever puts up the top 25 for next year or the percentage to win the bowl, to win the playoff next year. Can we not enjoy anything? Do you always have to go to the next thing immediately? So yes, we're gonna say 1913, put it on the thing. I'm not saying we need to have a parade for it, but we can go, look at that, got nine. Probably could claim more if we really wanted to be like Alabama or any of these other idiot teams. LSU, I'm sure you've got more. Georgia, I'm sure you've got more. But right now, by real numbers, by the numbers shown from the school, they don't, so they're going crazy. You know why? Because Georgia's beaten Auburn a few times in the last few years. And LSU thinks they always can. Guys, Auburn used to beat Georgia every other year, every year. Like this thing of Georgia being elite is a new thing. They won the national championship early 80s and never sniffed it again until recently. LSU, always back and forth between Auburn and LSU. This idea that Auburn is this little peon that can't claim a championship because you don't like it. Sorry. It was made dumb by Alabama. But what Alabama did is not what Auburn's doing. Auburn is claiming old championships, championships they should have gotten that people gave to them. Alabama's claiming 20th in the AP, third in the SEC. They're not the same. And yeah, Alabama's won some playoffs. They won the BCS. Yes, fine. They won it. Claim them. Everybody saw it. That's also the issue. You didn't see the old ones, so you don't know. So you're just going, oh, you're just adding to it. I mean, my gosh, I saw a bunch of bro podcasts, ton of bro podcasts talking about it was just so embarrassing. It's embarrassing that we waited this long to claim them. I keep saying claim. Recognize, accept. Accept will be the word. Because we're not just taking it. It was given. And we're going, okay, yep, we're doing it. Sometimes it takes a new guy. Sometimes it takes a new AD that wants to come in and he sees it from a different perspective. And he's not, you know, Jay Jacobs, whatever you think about him, he was old school. He did what he thought Pat Dye would want to do. Maybe Pat Dye said, don't claim 83. Don't recognize it. I don't know. But we all got scared to do it because Alabama did it. And what Alabama did is not what Auburn did. Get over it. In 2 years, nobody will care about it. In a year, nobody will care about it. Get over it. The number is nine right now. that in the world of college football that basically had no championship, no real rules about that, it was there. It's there for the taking for anybody who has a reputable championship claim from a reputable source. Do it. Yeah, we might have four champions in 1 year. Now, of course, we've got people going, well, no, look, Harvard really got it that year. Harvard, yeah, back in the day, Harvard and Princeton and all of them, they, you know, they were the show. Whatever. That was the only football teams. But get over it. That's it. It's nine. It's going to be 10 after this year. Oh. No. Anyway. So, where are we at? 45 minutes-ish. Yeah, I'm going to try to do these every Wednesday or Thursday. Give us a day to think about the game. Give us something to think about, talk about, or listen to on the way to the game for that week. Ball State is on the way. Ball State Cardinals. I don't hate their logo. It's kind of like that downward-facing cardinal. Doesn't remind me of a cardinal, but yeah, if you're going to be a bird, a little bird like that, I guess you got to try to make it look mean. From Muncie, Indiana. They'll be heading in. They're probably on the way right now as I record this on Thursday. I'll try to get this up Thursday afternoon. Again, I'm looking for – I'm not as able to bloggle as much as I used to. As you get older, that's what happens. I'm looking for a few more writers, a few more content creators. If you're a TikTok person and you're really into TikTok, I try to do it. I love watching TikTok videos. It's my history book. That's where I like to learn. Old thing. I'm not watching dances and stuff like Ryan Williams dancing right after a loss. I'm watching stuff about Egypt and stuff because that's how I am. But anyway, if you'd like to write, if content creator, if you want to get on a podcast, I don't always have to talk to myself. I really wish it wasn't like that. But if you'd like to podcast, shoot me a DM on Twitter, email me at admin@warbloggle.com or Facebook or whatever. Find me. You can find me anywhere. Any kind of content creation, website stuff, if you want to get into blogging, I've done this for almost 20 years now. The blog, I think it's been up for 17 or 18, unofficially. So if you're interested in any of that, get up with me. First game day coming in a few days, Auburn Ball State. Got to get back into tailgate shape. It's an all-day tailgate. The next one's an early morning, but this is an all-dayer, so... Hydrate, drink you a lot of water today and Friday. It's going to be hot and other things. So, yeah, I think that'll do it. This has been episode 26 of the War Bloggle Podcast. War Eagle.